Good morning. It is always a blessing for my family and me to be with faithful children of God, such as the Garrett Road Church of Christ. I thank God for allowing all of us to be together today to worship Him in spirit and truth. Brethren, thank you for having us. And one of the purposes of why we came is not only to worship with you, is not only to preach the Word of God, but to thank you for your goodness and love toward us. Our biblical studies at the Memphis School of Preaching are made possible because of your kindness and open-handedness. Thank you for your help. And rest assured that my wife and I will be forever grateful to your support. I also thank our beloved elders for giving me the opportunity to stand before you and preach the Word of God and share the beauty of God's love. God's love is so amazing. It is beyond question. It has exceeded even our most hopeful expectation. And I believe that this is the kind of love that God wants us to put in our hearts and to live out our lives. Because God expects us to show His tremendous love to others. He expects us to demonstrate His profound love with others. And He expects us to show His wonderful love in our delight as faithful members of the Lord's church to the rest of the world. There's a lot of verses from the Word of God reminding us about the beauty of God's love, which encompasses forgiveness and forgetfulness. And it's so lovely to see that this love can be experienced by repentant individuals who love the Lord and obey His commands, thus leading us to Jesus. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandment." John 15:14, Jesus said, "You are my friend if you do whatsoever I have commanded you." There was a certain story of a couple who had a son. This boy would come home drunk every night, staggering and screaming inside the house, using foul language that would pierce his parents' heart. And so the husband told his wife to refrain from interfering to their son's life anymore and let him live as he pleases. One night the boy came home again drunk and doing his usual absent attitude. However, he had consumed too much alcohol and had fallen off the stairs. And the mother saw him fall and responded by rushing to his aid, helping him and entering his room, and even applying a heated towel to his face. And following this, she even helps her son fall asleep, just rocking him softly, again and again, just rocking him. And the husband saw what she was doing. And he said, "What do you mean by that? Have I not told you not to disturb him anymore? How could you do that to me?" And the wife calmly responded to her husband, saying, "I am doing this to our son, because this is only the time that he lets me love him. What do you mean about that? Have you forgotten all the things that he has been doing to us? And the wife hugged her son so tightly and replied to her husband, "Yes, I can still forgive our son and forget everything he has done to me, because this is only the time that he lets me love him." What a wonderful affection a mother has for her son. Because of love, she was willing to forgive and forget his son. Brethren, does this sound familiar to all of us? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Son of God, who in the beginning was the Word, he was with God, and he was God. He became flesh, John 1:14, and took the form of a servant and made himself as a likeness of man, and became obedient even unto the death on the cross. Philippians 2:6-8. Yes, God the Father was willing to give his son to die on the cross. And when Jesus was on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Why did Jesus pray, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do"? The scripture that we have just read earlier tells us the answer. He did that because of love. Jesus prayed not because of who they are, those people who nailed him on the cross, but because of who he is. Brethren, God is love. God is love. Love is not merely a quality of God. Rather, it is the essence of who he is. And all that God does comes from his love. God's love is not just something that God does. In fact, without God, true lasting love doesn't exist. This implies that those who know God should love others as he has loved them and loved us. Brethren and friends, God forgives because of love. In Luke chapter 23, verse 33, when the crowd came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 34, and Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." God the Father gave his only Son so extremely. And then on that cross, Jesus Christ screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God's forgiveness is an act of grace and mercy, stemming from his boundless love for humanity. God the Father gave his only Son, meaning to say, that he was ready and willing to do that. Not because we asked for it, but because he loves to do that for humanity. He wanted to demonstrate of his compassionate nature as a loving and forgiving God. Have you ever thought, brethren and friends, why Jesus was willing to forgive and those people? Jesus did that because he knows that forgiveness is God's most powerful expression of love. He offered it to them through the kindness and love. The point is that forgiveness reaches out to the undeserving. Jesus loves all people and he was willing to do whatever it took so that our sins could be forgiven. It's true. Without love, it is impossible for us to forgive. And if we refuse to forgive, we don't love God. We cannot forgive a person who wronged us if we do not have the love of God in our hearts, and we do not love that person if we refuse to forgive him. But how many times do I need to forgive my brother or sister who sins against me, Brother Alex? Don't you know that this question was also a question of Apostle Peter to Jesus in Matthew 18? Lord, how many times do I need to forgive my brother who sins against me? Is it 7 times? And Jesus answered him in verse 22, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Well, 70 times 7 is 490, right? And so once we hit 491, it's all over. Brethren, you know what? The work to track our forgiveness for that long would be silly. So the point is this. We cannot put a number on forgiveness. We have to forgive always without putting a limit on it. We must forgive as what the Bible tells us to do. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul reminds us that God's forgiveness sets the ultimate example for us to mimic. Yes, we are called to forgive with kindness. We are called to forgive with compassion. We are called to forgive with love. I know forgiveness is not easy. Maybe all of us or some of us or a few of us have been there. I've been there. It is tough. Forgiving a sister or brother who sins against us is not easy. Don't you know the reason why? It is not easy because it requires us to release our grievances and to love instead of holding on to bitterness. Forgiveness is not easy because we have to let go our pride. Forgiveness is not about setting others free. Forgiveness is about setting ourselves free from hatred, from pain, from vengeance. It is about experiencing the freedom that Christ gave because of his sacrifice on the cross. Self-sacrifice is the ultimate act of love for others, even to the point of death. But none of us has done that. Human beings might die for someone for which they have some care or respect, but not for their enemies. Acts 15:13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." 1 John 2:12, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." When we forgive, we acknowledge that we are all sinners and in need of God's mercy. We must forgive people who don't deserve it. And we are to forgive others just as God forgives us. Mark 11:25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you." Don't you know that one of the reasons we may have a hard time accepting the forgiveness of God is that we find it hard to forgive others and to forgive even ourselves. For us to learn to forgive others, we need first to forgive ourselves. That's why when Jesus said, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Brethren and friends, if we want our relationship with God to be all that it should be, we have to learn how to forgive, especially our enemies. Remember 1 John 4:8? God is love. God forgets because of love. The Bible does not explicitly say God forgets, but it does say that He chooses not to remember our sins no more. This act of forgetfulness is rooted in God's unconditional love for humanity. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." That statement of Jesus Christ while he was on the cross, "for they do not know what they do," implies his willingness to overlook the actions of his enemies. These people are unaware of the full significance of their actions. "For they do not know what they do." Do you believe that? What about Matthew 27, verses 27 to 32? It is written that those people who nailed Jesus on the cross knew exactly what they were doing. Matthew 27, verses 27 to 32. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." Did God see what these people were up to against his son. Lord Jesus, didn't you see them and hear them shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him"? God the Father, didn't you see what they have done to your son? You know what, if I were the Father, I will never forget what they have done to my son. And the more I hear the knock and sounds, the hammering that accompany on my son's hands and feet, the more I become angry with them. Sad to say, I was not the Father, and you were not either. And so we don't have the right to condemn those people who have nailed our Lord Jesus Christ on the cruel cross. Brethren and friends, God knows and sees everything that happened to his son. Hebrews 4:13, we are all naked and exposed before God, even the depth of our sinful hearts. Jesus meant, and he meant what he said, for they do not know what they are doing. But of course, for us, we just have read earlier that we know, that they know what they have done to our Lord Jesus Christ. But don't you know that God's ceasing to remember doesn't mean our sin slips his mind, but that he doesn't hold it against us anymore. He no longer remembers us according to our sin, but according to God's perfection. Isaiah 43:25, we hear God declare of himself, "I, even I, am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins no more." Oh, what a wonderful God we serve and worship. He was willing to forgive and forget because of love. When we were baptized in water, that's the time that God has forgiven us. And when we asked forgiveness and humbled ourselves and asked forgiveness and repented of our sins, he is willing to forget our sins. God promises that he will forgive our iniquity and will not remember our sin no more. Hebrews 16 or chapter 10, verses 16 to 17. This is where we can read the promise of God that he's not going to remember our sin no more. Hebrews 10, 16 to 17. It says here, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." We have to believe that. But one thing that Jesus wants us to do every time our sins are forgiven and forgotten by God because of love is this: go and say no more. Go and say no more. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ told the woman who committed adultery. It says here in John chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11, she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Brethren, God's amazing love forgives us and forget our sins. But we have to do our part. We have to stop sinning. Stop sinning is, it doesn't mean that we're not going to sin anymore. This command doesn't mean that we are all perfect in the sight of God. But rather, sin is no longer to be our lifestyle or a chosen way of living. Instead, it's a warning against returning to the same path of rebellion. My friends, if you are here this morning, and if you want to experience the beauty of God's love, and if you feel that your life is meaningless, empty, and worthless, this is the time for you to decide to accept the greatness of God's amazing love. How? Believe in God. Believe also in His Son, John 14:1. Believe in His Word by listening and studying the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess Jesus the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Mark 16:16 and Acts 22:16. And if you are a brother or a sister who has occasionally strayed from the Lord and from His church, this is also the time for you to repent and come home. Come back to God's fold. Our elders would be delighted to assist you, to pray for you and to pray with you, so that your faith will be strengthened again and your relationship with God be renewed. Remember, God's love is so amazing. Dear friends, God loves you. He wants you to be His child. He wants you to be in Christ Jesus. But you cannot be in Christ Jesus if you're not to be in His church. So this time, if you're deciding to be His child, to be in Christ and to be His church, we have a song of invitation. And as we stand and sing that song, please come forward and we're going to help you.